Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Oh, it's too hot. It's definitely too hot. Although, you know, some people feel that yesterday was worse because it was so muggy and so humid. We are at 103. That's the real field temp, and that's all that matters to me. That is at O'Hare right now. And we love Tuesdays because we get to check in with Tom Skilling, but no important nothing. I mean, we've never had weather this important. Last night was crazy. Today, so Tom, is today the hottest day we can get through this and then not have to worry, or what's the deal?
Well, I'll tell you, this is the way it's going to work, Lisa. This probably will be the warmest, but it may only exceed tomorrow's high by about a degree. We're thinking in terms of 98 today and 97 tomorrow. That would be a record tomorrow. And then we tail off to 91 Thursday, but with much lower humidity. Bring a lake breeze in on Friday and Saturday. That gets it down to 70 at the beaches and maybe upper 70s, low 80s inland. And then we're back in the 90s again by early next week. So bottom line is, in a June that has started out rather cool, in fact, yesterday was the first above normal day in 8 days, we're suddenly turning on summer heat, which I guess we have to expect at this time of the year.
You might be turning on summer heat. I'm turning the air conditioner down to 70.
You know, I'll tell you something. We've had 8 90s at Midway Airport today, 3 at O'Hare. But, Lisa, you know, last week I was out with a WGN TV crew. We're doing a climate change piece. And we went out to Lake Mead in Las Vegas, outside Las Vegas. That's that big reservoir out there that is the source of water for Las Vegas, for San Diego, Phoenix, even Los Angeles. And the lake is really low with their drought out there. But as we were driving around, we had the car we were in registered 113 degrees. And that was in the same air mass that's expanded now into our area. And I was just counting, there'll be about 8 to 9 states today across the center of the country that set record high temps. And there'll be records around us here in Chicago. So, and all that after that wild weather last night.
Oh, my gosh. I found myself Googling today. I Googled, do tornadoes ever hit downtown Chicago? Because we had a rare tornado warning in the city yesterday. And I think a lot of people were wondering, well, does this ever really happen? Because I can't remember a tornado in the city.
Well, you know, there are a lot of myths about this. And we tried over the years to dispel these. One of them is that tornadoes don't occur in downtown Chicago, and they do. The last tornado that hit what is now the Loop was 1876. But if you look at the Oak Lawn tornado that hit in April of 1967, terrible tornado. It killed 35 in Oak Lawn, 50 altogether, 59, I believe, was the death toll. That thing hit around Oak Lawn, went across Evergreen Park and the south side of Chicago, and went a mile out into the lake off the Science and Industry Museum. It knocked a semi off an overpass around 5 o'clock in the evening onto the Dan Ryan Expressway. And then we had a tornado that touched down up here near where I am on the north side of the city by Loyola University. That happened in September back in the early 2010s. So, yeah, they do happen in the city.
Hey, I tweeted something today. I hope it's accurate. It came from the U.S. Storm Watch. I don't even really know if they are credible, but they had video, or they claimed the video was from space looking at the storm that hit Chicago. And if it's true, that view was pretty spectacular.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, it would be similar to what we saw on the satellite. That was an amazing complex. It was one of several that bubbled up on the fringe of this hot air dome that's now expanded into the area, and expanded in so effectively that it's produced such a deep layer of heat through the atmosphere that today, even with comparable and even hotter temperatures and comparably high humidities, will not get storms today. But yesterday, that thing exploded. It formed around 4 o'clock in the afternoon just east of Rockford as a cluster of storms. And then those rode the steering wheels winds southeastward into the Chicago area, and it went into northwest Indiana. It You know, this is the beginning of what we refer to as derecho season. Derechos are fast-moving squall lines that hold together over hundreds of miles, and they do damage all the way. What we had yesterday was like a derecho, and I'm told, you know, we had a wind gust of 84 miles an hour at O'Hare yesterday.
Jeez.
And it went on to produce wind gusts of 98 miles an hour in Fort Wayne, Indiana. So these derechos kind of rotate around the periphery of very hot domes of air. And boy, they're formidable and can last. We've had derechos that form in northern Wisconsin, make it all the way out to Washington, D.C., and do damage the whole way. So that's the season we're in right now.
Absolutely. You can hear the roar of chainsaws in Maywood today because that derecho, it takes trees up by the roots and just tips them over.
Stunning. Well, you know, it's interesting. The winds these thunderstorms generate that fall out of the cloud and produce microbursts or downburst type winds, straight line winds, those things, the higher you go on a tree, for instance, or a building, the stronger the winds go. There was an apartment complex that had the roof ripped off it. Totally. And we find that in hurricanes, too. You know, the taller the building, the stronger the winds, the farther you go up the building, because these winds drag across the ground and the features of terrain or buildings can slow it down. But as you get higher above the ground, you have less frictional drag from those effects, and therefore the winds grow stronger. And that amounts to a lot of force you're putting on a tree, which could ultimately either snap it or bring it down.
Tom Skilling from WGN-TV, our beloved weatherman, is with us today. And what a day to talk about weather. It is hot. We had a huge storm last night. And we don't have the craziest weather in North America. We'll talk about that, and his forecast is on the way. But first, a check on traffic with Mary Vandeveld. Chicago's afternoon news, 720 WGN. It is so nice to have Tom Skilling on a hot day, a day when we're all talking about what happened last night. In fact, Tom, we went to you live. I was listening to WGN on my way home, and I'm like, wait a second, Tom and Micah and we went to you live because the weather was crucial and not everybody in their car can see what you're saying. So,
great. I hadn't realized that. Yeah, we go on nights like that. We go wall to wall, and I had Tim Joyce in with me, and Bill Schneider was working, so the whole crew was on, and it's really quite a team effort. That was an amazing storm complex. I've gotten pictures of trees that have been struck by lightning. There were some buildings struck and igniting some fires, but one tree I got a picture of was blown to smithereens when lightning struck it. And you know what happens there, Lisa? Lightning can heat the sap in the trees, which turns to steam, and the steam takes up more space than the sap from which it's created. So you get these incredible explosive effects when a tree is struck. And you heat the core of a lightning bolt is about 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit. So it's like five times the temperature of the surface of the sun. And, you bring that to bear on a building or a tree or an outdoor object, and you got some problems there on top of the wind hail that are produced.
I've never heard that, Tom. This is why I love having you on. I never knew that lightning heated up the sap and literally blew up the tree. That's the first I've ever heard that.
Well, you know what else it does, Lisa? This is kind of interesting. I mean, these thunderstorms are nature's air conditioners. The top of a cloud, like the one you were reporting was spotted from space and that we were tracking on the satellite, cloud tops, even while we're perspiring and hot down here at ground level with a thunderstorm, you go up to the top of it, the temps are at 60 to 80 below zero, which is one of the ways you get hail to come out of these storms, even on a hot day. We had some 2-inch diameter hail. That's hen size hail yesterday. But yeah, here's another thing thunderstorms do that a lot of people don't know. You know, the air that we breathe is 21% oxygen, but it's 78% nitrogen. We don't use that when we breathe. But lightning is so hot, it takes the gaseous nitrogen, it fixes it, turns it into a solid form that falls in the rainwater. And so a thunderstorm will produce about a pound of nitrogen-based fertilizer over every acre that it passes. So that may be one of the reasons why vegetation perks up after thunderstorms pass, because they're being fertilized as well as watered, which is kind of neat.
Interesting. I know people in our area yesterday were reporting golf ball or maybe ping pong ball size hail, but did you see the video out of Mexico City where the hail came? Oh, my gosh, Tom, you've got to show this on TV tonight. The hail fell at such a rate that it looked like it was 6 inches of snow in Mexico City.
And you know something, Lisa, that's not the only time that's happened. Oh, you can get these humongous hailstones that literally produce drifts of hail that look like a snowstorm is hit. And they have to bring out snow plows and all. Of course, they don't have them down in Mexico City because they don't deal with that very often. But, it's pretty formidable. And you know what else is interesting? The size of some of these hailstones. Hail can get so big, it punches holes in the tops of roofs. So hail is, nothing to fool with.
No, not at all. And there was also crazy weather at Yellowstone yesterday where the flooding was so immense that they had to shut down the park to visitors. So I think that factors in with people who might be listening and headed out that way, that there are bridges out. It was a crazy weather day nationwide yesterday, wasn't it?
It really is. And, you know, when you figure that area was in the grips of terrible drought up in Montana across to the Plain States this winter and spring have delivered them a lot of precip. But, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that, Lisa. They had winter storm warnings up in the mountains of Montana yesterday and snow advisories at some lower elevations out in western Montana. At the same time, you go 800 miles south into Arizona and they had excessive heat warnings up. So you had triple-digit temperatures down in the southwest and snow and flooding rains, as you say, up in the northern Rockies. Pretty amazing stuff.
You know, and I'm concerned today, Tom, because with this heat, you know there will be a loss of life. Maybe not in Chicago, but there will be. And I don't know what to do to prevent it.
No. You know, that deadly heat wave, July 1995, that is, to this day, Chicago's most deadly natural disaster. More than 700 people died in that terrible heat wave we had back in July 95. And it was a year later, we had that 17-inch flood that hit Aurora and Naperville, and it was terrible. But, we didn't really know the point at which people succumbed to the heat, passed away. It turns out that if you have 3 nights with 80-degree or higher temps and you have 3 days with triple-digit heat indices, that's when you really start seeing death. But heat, Lisa, you're absolutely right. Of all the extreme weather events that occur in the United States, heat is the most deadly. It's more deadly than floods, than hurricanes, tornadoes, lightning, or even cold weather, which is interesting. And But one of the things that's so insidious about it is we didn't know that right away because, you know, when the autopsies are done on people who have passed away, they'll list the cause of death as being a respiratory problem or a cardiovascular problem. They won't say it's the result of heat wave, and yet the respiratory or cardiovascular issues have arisen because of the stress on the human body produced by heat. And we're at a level of heat today with heat indices of 105 to 110, which is dangerous. You get above 105 on the heat index, that's a dangerous level of heat if you're out there exerting yourself.
Yeah, and if you're working outside today, protect yourself because maybe your boss isn't going to look out for you. So look out for yourself. So what are we looking at for the 7-day forecast, Tom?
Well, 98 today, 97 tomorrow, 91 on Thursday. Lots of sunshine the rest of the day, this evening, and during the day tomorrow with a strong daytime south-southwest wind. On Thursday, we'll hit 91, but the wind will have turned northwest and the humidity will drop. And by Friday and Saturday, a lot of sunshine, but there'll be a northeast wind off the lake. And that'll drop the temps to the low 80s out in the western suburbs or the upper 70s to around upper 60s to low 70s in the city and downtown Friday and Saturday. But the heat is coming back, Lisa. We're not done. We'll be back into the 90s again by Monday and Tuesday of next week. And even Sunday ought to be well into the 80s around here. So we've got, it's June and we've got the heat coming, which I guess we never expect.
It's what we all wanted in January. Now we're like, I don't know. It's always lovely to talk to you, Tom. Have a beautiful day and thanks for updating us.
Lisa, good to talk to you. Stay cool.
Absolutely. Tom Skilling from WGN-TV. Steve Bertrand has your news next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.